Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day and welcome to the Pod. It's Holmesy here, chatting all things AFL Fantasy Classic live on this Monday night, 18th of March. And boys, we've had footy back. Really exciting. We've had some up and down rounds, but all in all, absolutely stoked to have fantasy back. Footy's back and yeah, absolutely loving it. And we've got the two guys on here again tonight. No Stato, unfortunately, still busy with work, but hopefully we'll have the Foss back in a few weeks' time, but we'll keep you up to date with how he's tracking. But as always, we've got Louie here, the mainstay of the Pod. Louie, how are you going, mate, after the weekend of footy?
Yeah, good, mate. You're right. I was pretty giddy about the footy actually being back. I know it's technically been back for a week now, but definitely just had the tingles on Thursday night before Richmond and Carlton. Absolutely pumped. And yeah, in turn, we've got fantasy back too, of course. So that's always nice as well.
And joining us, as always, he's been a regular for a long time now. We've got two-time top 10 finisher, John Harmy. Mate, how was your weekend?
Yeah, pretty good, Buzz Holmes. I watched a bit of footy. I sort of caught most of the games to some extent. And yeah, no, Bombers got a win, so I'm up and about, buddy.
Yeah, good for your boys, although they didn't come up against much of a Hawthorn side, but you must be absolutely stoked. And just like me with my Freo boys, I'm sure you've already got your flights booked to the grand final in September. It's all on.
Yeah, absolutely. I told Lou today that Bombers, everybody writing them off should have a good hard look at themselves.
Yeah, beautiful. So what we'll do is we'll give a bit of a recap of our rounds as we like to do, and then we'll get stuck into the hot topic. So, Lou, why don't you kick us off with your score for the round and where you're ranked currently?
Yeah, so obviously Dossie leaving the podcast was pretty devastating. Got some feedback. How are we going to replace Dossie? What are we going to do? So I've stepped up to the plate. I scored a 1959, which puts me at 41,424 rank, well and truly entrenched within the Dossie territory there. In fact, I think Dossie might have even beaten me. So bit of an average week. The main turning point there is choosing Connor Butterick for a little cheeky cash grab over a Riley Bonner or a Nat Fyfe. That would have been the straight bat, and I'd be nipping at the heels of these other boys. But you went all right as well, didn't you, Holmesy?
Yeah, look, I'm in the Dossie ranks as well. But before we get to my score, Harmy, how'd you go this week?
Let's have a look, buddy. Let's have a look. 2012. So just ticked over the 2000, which I was pretty happy about. It's funny, isn't it? We talk so often as a group that we sort of started with a few similar players, but yeah, let's have a look. We all sort of finished fairly close together if Lou didn't drop away by 50-odd points. So it was a pretty solid start. I think 2,000's not a bad effort.
Yeah, look, it's just round one. So much still has to come out in the wash. We say it's a trading game for a reason. So absolutely, it wasn't an ideal start for all of us. But to be honest, I think that's more of a positive thing because There's a lot of teams that got auto-filled, and there's a lot of teams that build out really strong starting squads but don't pay too much attention to their cash gen and things like that. So plenty of time to make up ground when with some smart trading. Stato scored the 2002, which has him at a rank of 27,646, which is not a bad start for the Foss. It'll be good to have him back so we can actually pick his brain a little bit, although he just seems to ghost us this time every year, so I wouldn't actually have any clue how his team is shaping up. For myself, so I had a 2033, which was, like I said, pretty positive to start. That gets me at a ranking of 17,865, which is about 30,000 ranks higher than where I started this time last year. So to be honest, I'm just taking that as a positive with no Tom Stewart 14 injury like I copped last year. Lou, why don't you kick us off with your plus three and negative three?
Oh, geez, mate. I didn't even think about this one. So on the fly, I'll probably go Tristan Cherry. I think 121 as a 580K ruckman is just absolute smash pick. So got to love that. And the negative three, it's got to go to Connor Buderick. Started him at, I think he's 504K. Did the maths. If he went 60, I'd be making about 50K off the dot once lockout lifted. But, he went 25 in some miserable conditions, albeit. But, got to give it to him. That's trash.
Yeah, look, it's a tough one to cop straight up, but you're right. The conditions there absolutely did not suit many of those Gold Coast defenders, being a real sort of wet, dewy game, so absolutely should be on the chopping block, but I don't think he's going to go 25 again anytime soon. Harmy, what about your plus three, negative three?
Jeez, I probably have to, for my negative three, probably going to have to get my lowest scoring on-field player, I suppose, and that was Nick Caulfield with a 44. There's probably a few other options that I could have gone for, but anyway, that was probably down there. My plus three, who do you go with, Lou? Riley Bonner?
Yeah, thanks for rubbing salt in the wound there, mate. Appreciate it.
I'll go with Riley Bonner, dude. 102, and he looked bloody good doing it coming out of that back line, so I was impressed with what I saw from him. But while I've got the table here, Holmes, I've had a quick squeeze at the Fossils team, Stato, so I'll could do a quick plus three, minus three for him. He had John Newcomb with a 62. I don't reckon he would have been too wrapped with that one. But he captained Big Maxi Gorn, so he would have been pumped with 137 from Gorn as his skipper.
Yeah, well, you've stolen my thunder there, Harmy, because I was going to give my plus three to Big Maxi Gorn as my vice-captain. So I'll pick another one. Wasn't my highest score on field, but Luke Jackson, I was a little bit nervous about the pick. Coming up against Big O, and admittedly he did get busy late with that goal and then got a bit of junk, but 96 in a relatively tough matchup, happy for him to be increasing his price a little bit, and hopefully with a few nice matchups to come, he can get his cash gen going a little bit more so that I can get across once Darcy comes back. So Luke Jackson, my plus three, and then my negative three, I'll give it to the low-hanging fruit, Brody Grundy. Seems as none of you guys gave him the negative three. 53 from your ruck, not ideal. We all had to sort of pick him after how he played against Max the week before, but it's going to be an interesting talking point to see whether or not we trade off him now, or whether, you know, someone like me that doesn't have Tristan Cherry, we jump across. And that's going to lead us into our hot topics, Lou. So I want to pick your brain a little bit here. Talk to me about Brody Grundy. If you don't have a Tristan Cherry, is it as simple as we need to jump across now knowing that Cherry's price is going north and Grundy's stalled? Or do we have to wait and see and potentially fix up elsewhere in our teams? What are you thinking?
Well, I think if you are a Grundy and a Gorn owner, you do need to jump over to Tristan Cherry. We've spoken all preseason about how these ruckmen should have the highest floor, so they're unlikely to burn you. And Tristan Cherry starting off with a 121 at 580K. He's already gone up to 622K, so made 30K over the weekend. He's got a 34 break even, so you'd expect him to probably triple that at least in this upcoming match against Fremantle. He's got Luke Jackson there, obviously, so he should be a little bit more experienced than him. But yeah, what a mare by Grundy. 8 touches. That's not really the Grundy that we've known in the past. Was a bit of a tricky night for him. I do wonder how much of a factor the Collingwood ruck matchup is playing a part. They do seem to be quite difficult. I feel like Mason Cox really takes the floor out from underneath a ruckman, because once he does get into those ruck contests, he attended 36, which wasn't far behind Darcy Cameron. I think that the hit outs immediately are taken away from you, and you could see that Grundy was getting quite frustrated with it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point you make in terms of Kieran Briggs didn't have a very good score against Collingwood the week before. So we've got two data points now of this Collingwood matchup being pretty tough. I'll throw it to you, Harmy. Do you think it's important to jump off Grundy now, or if someone, you know, potentially, let's throw my team out there, someone that has an Ollie Wines, a Zach Fisher, or another player that's kind of stalling in cash there, do you think they're more of a priority to jump off rather than Grundy, who he did have a 120 the week before and could turn it around?
It depends what options you can see as alternatives for Wines and Fisher, I think. Because I guess with Grundy, we've got another option that's cheaper than him that we've got a fair bit of confidence in. And I think that that's probably slightly different. Can we say the same with Fisher? Billings maybe, but he's got a bye coming up. Wines, maybe if you didn't have Bonner, that might be an option for you. But yeah, I guess I'm a Brody Grundy owner. I have Grundy and Gorn. And I'm considering Grundy to Cherry. I mean, it's not a given, as in we'll just see what else I need to do throughout the course of the week, but I'm definitely thinking about it at this point in time.
Yeah, and I suppose that's a good segue into our next point, being the bye starting this week. So with Carlton and Brisbane being on a bye, Harmy, you know, is it a play, you know, you talk about going a Fisher down to a Billings or a Fife type that you're not necessarily confident in. What about if we are, knowing that it's best 18, going a Fisher down to a Dempsey who has a negative break even and bringing an extra rookie onto the field for best 18 and then maybe having the money to go a Wines up to one of these big dogs for these ceilings? What do you think about that?
That was with Fisher you said, didn't you? But see, you would have been relying on Fisher as one of your 18 scorers. I sort of was using that best 18 tactic with Nick Caulfield. So although I wasn't really wrapped in his score, I'm probably just going to leave him because there's a good chance his score isn't going to count anyway. So I'm okay with that. But yeah, Fisher, you would have been relying on him scoring. Look, his role wasn't too bad. He still scored 68, which is not that far off where he's priced at anyway. So I don't think we necessarily have to trade Fisher at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just a name I was throwing up there. Louis, I'm going to throw this one to you, and this is a little bit off the cuff, so you're going to have to think about this a little bit. But now that we've seen round one and we've seen how some of these big dog premiums have come out firing in this sort of best 18 system now, what do you think, after looking at round one, is the optimal structure in terms of rookies on field? Now that we've seen the likes of Jeremy Sharp go pretty well, Matt Roberts go pretty well, obviously, Colby and Sanders did what they needed to do as well. Do you think the three rookie midfielders is the way to go and we should be looking to restructure to do that? Or would you be happy with a Bonner and then the two rookies in the midfield? I know it's a bit off the cuff, but I just want a raw answer here.
Well, if you've got Bonner sitting at M6, I think that's fine. He's been a good pick for you. It does suck that you need to decide between two out of four rookies instead of being able to, you know, shore up a thing there. But no, I think, though, that the three-rookie structure probably was the way to go. I think we probably put Jeremy Sharp and his scoring capabilities on the back burner a little bit, but Colby McKersher, Matt Roberts and Riley Sanders proved that they can score, you know, 70, 75-plus and really jostle with the mid-prices there. Jeremy Sharp's just a bonus on the bench, or, you know, whichever way that you want to spin things around there. But yeah, it seems to me that the three rookie structure probably was the way to go. Maybe you can stretch to four if you've got maybe like a Jai Newcomb in your midfield that you weren't too happy with. But yeah, it's a bit of a difficult one to answer on the fly there though, Holmesy.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, there's a lot to play out, but the number one team this week was running a house at D6, and I myself was running a Marty Hoare at D6 with the intention of having one rookie there for this best 18 system, knowing that potentially those rookies are going to fall off. And I was just wondering, and maybe I'll get your opinion as well, Harmy, having seen a Tom Green, a Sarong, a Zach Merritt, these types go absolutely massive. With the rookies we have this year, it seems like they're going to score pretty well in line at times with these mid prices. And is it worth a little bit of a restructure to try and get a few more of these players on field, especially in this best 18 system? What do you think, Harmy?
Well, let's talk about them then, hey, with the rookies. So House, 66, we'll be fairly happy with what he's done. McKercher, Sanders, fine. Roberts, 68. I suppose he's probably fine on field. Sharp, he looked pretty good, actually. I'm a bit disappointed I don't have him, but anyway. Darcy Wilson, Harley Reid. That might be about it, I reckon, as far as rookies you'd be happy to play on field. So, look, I've got Bonner in my midfield as my, what's that going to be, M6, McKercher, Sanders. So I'm pretty happy with that, and I won't be changing it. So, yeah, it's really only Caulfield, as I said, that I was a bit disappointed with, and I would probably have preferred Hoare or Howes, maybe. So, and I could probably play Darcy Wilson on field. I'd probably be okay with that, but I'm not really going to dump one of my existing players to bring another rookie on field, I don't think.
Yep, fair enough. The other thing, I think Harley Reid actually looked pretty good to start that matchup as well, and it was a tough matchup in Port. I think he'll be better for the run as he goes on. So in this best 18 system, at least you have a little bit more confidence fielding him when you might lose a Sexton or a Flanders or one of those players. So, yep, all good discussion points. What we're going to do for this podcast, knowing that it's only round one and we still don't have heaps of data to go through, we've thrown it out on Twitter and we've got plenty of questions to get through. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go into in depth with a lot of these questions. So the first one I'm going to throw to you, Louis, we've got from the Diddly Docker. Who would you bring in? You've got Jordan Clark or Matt Crouch. So Jordan Clark, 97, didn't have any kick-ins, but Freo played really well and controlled the ball in the back line there. So there was a lot of ball going around. And Matt Crouch, 113 off the back of being heavily in the midfield, 73% time on ground. The game was tailor-made for him with those conditions, but looked fantastic as we'd been speaking about all preseason. So who would you bring in personally out of those two?
Well, with these two, I've probably got them both hovering somewhere between 90 and 95 in terms of a seasonal average. You're right, Matt Crouch, that game was absolutely built for him. It was wet, it was sticky, it was a high stoppage game, and he just thrived within it. I actually think had Wines had that exact same matchup, we'd probably be thinking similar of him as well, potentially. But yeah, Matt Crouch did Matt Crouch things, and what was really positive there was that he had 68% CBAs, so only Jordan Dawson exceeded that. That's a little bit in line with what we said during the preseason, that they're not moving the Rolls-Royce in Dawson. Crouch can't play anywhere else. It's probably going to be the rest of the midfield that rotate through. So tick with him. And then Jordan Clark, I'm probably going to favour this one just because he's got that defender status. I think they're going to average around the same anyway. So I've got a higher weighting with that defence status. He looked good too. Like he was patrolling that half back line and got involved with a little bit of junk late, which we love to see from those kinds of players. And he's a little bit cheaper too, which I think when we're talking about small margins coming out of round one, that can always be something that tips the favour within your ledger. The final point there was potentially he could be a keeper or at least someone that you run through to those mid-season buys if he can keep up that output. Whereas a Matt Crouch, you're probably looking to get up to somebody else within the next sort of 7 or 8 weeks, provided he continues that output.
The one thing I will flag with Jordan Clark, and I don't necessarily think this is going to happen, but it needs to be a bit of a watch at selection. Freo had two of their defenders go down, so Warner got knocked out, and then we had Oscar Mack do his knee, and then Brennan Cox, who plays defense but was playing forward on the weekends, also go down with the hammy, and Hayden Young did shift back late. Now, clearly that might have just been an in-game rotation to get them through, but you'll need to watch at selections to see who they bring in, and potentially Hayden Young does go back there, which would potentially limit Clark's output a little bit. So just a small flag there to watch at selection. Harmy, this one's from Mr. Sarag. Which two would you fix first out of Grundy, Wines, Newcomb or McKenzie?
Grundy, Wines, Newcomb, McKenzie. McKenzie, yeah, what did he get? Early 40s.
41, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind him as a player, but I was always a bit 50-50 about what role he was going to have in the Hawthorn team. And then he doesn't seem to have kind of found his spot. I thought it was going to be the wing and they were just going to settle on him there, but then they threw him around again. I think that he may be the one that I have most concern over. But I've got Wines and I have got Grundy. I don't have Newcomb. I think, look, Newcomb didn't have a good game. I think that he's still the number one midfielder at Hawthorn. If you think that they've got a bit more upside than what they showed, he's probably potentially worth sticking with. But all three of them are concerning. But I think I'm most inclined at this point to move Grundy on out of those guys.
Yep, I'd agree there, but I'd be looking to move on McKenzie as well. There's one thing we know about these mid prices is that you need them to get off to a hot start and make some cash early, and that 41's going to be sitting in his price for the next 4 weeks, making it pretty tough to jump. And the role, although was there, I think he looked a bit slow and a little bit out of it, Lou.
Yeah, I actually think Grundy's a low priority trade. He came in priced at 76. He's a smidge over that now. I can't see Brody Grundy averaging less than 90, personally. I think he's a much better player than that. So while it is, you know, pretty flattening that he pumped out that 53, and it's definitely something to flag as a concern of perhaps something to come, but I think when you've got a value ruck like that, that is going to be outperforming his price, even though it's not going to be the accelerated sort of level of cash generation we're expecting. I think he's one that you can tuck away and leave on field to just slowly chip away at it. That's provided that you do have the that you don't just have Grundy gone and you can go down to a cherry.
Beautiful. Lou, I'll stay with you. This one's from Spoilers FC. Says that he has most of the rookies you'd want. It's more of a strategy chat. So at this point in the season and given it's best 18, do you think the priority is to chase the rookies you've missed, i.e. like a Jeremy Sharp, to really get that cash gen going, or upgrade a mid-pricer to a gun mid for a scoring bump? What are you thinking here?
Yeah, this is one I've been tossing up quite a bit, actually, and I think it carries a lot of weight, this whole ceiling scenario, where if you've got your best 18, you've probably got, 15 really solid players that you'd be banking to be within that. And then with the quality of rookies that we've got, they're all sort of jostling for position through those spots, 15, 16, 17, 18 anyway. So there's a sort of theory where if you go, okay, well, I've got let's say, Matt Crouch from earlier, or maybe Ollie Wines is a better example. All right, no worries. I'm going to find the cash and I'm going to take Ollie Wines, who might average 85 to 90 up to man on everyone's lips, Caleb Sarong, who might go 110. I think that does carry a bit of weight. I think your top end might really dictate the best 18 over the next couple of weeks. That being said, cash generation we know is super important, and it's almost more important than ever with so many coaches being switched onto it. We are only best 18 for 4 weeks. It's a 24-week season. I think I'm probably favouring to just playing the straight bat and generating that cash as quickly as I can at the beginning of the season when those rookies are presenting themselves. Quite often we can sort of run out of them as the season goes on, and you got to find more creative ways to generate that cash. So I'm in the camp where you're still going for that cash generation over the ceiling, but if you can find a nice balance, then you're onto a winner there.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yep, don't mind that at all, Lou. This next one from Volcrum, I'm going to answer this one. So who to trade Zach Reed to? So he's listed Dean, Ulan, Pink, Hoare and Caulfield. I'm probably in the camp of not trading Zach Reed at the moment. I know he's just done a hammy, so he's going to be out for a couple of weeks, but I feel like it's a bit of a wasted trade here. There's no real options that are really standing out, and you could trade into a guy that might put up a 20 or a 30 anyway, and you're not really going to get any cash or scoring. So at the moment, as bad as it sounds, I think you just hold off on that and try and bolster your squad elsewhere until you're really guaranteed that whoever you're going to trade Zach Reed to is going to be a scorer and going to make some money. Otherwise, I think you've wasted a trade there. Like Marty Hoare, yes, he got 62, but it was a nervous 62. He kind of junked it up late in the last quarter, and he played more of a lockdown role than potentially I thought he was going to have. And Nick Caulfield only scored 44 in a big dog's loss. He might not even be best 22 and might find his way out of the team next week anyway. So I'm not sure I'd be going there just yet. Harmy, this one's from Jay. Howes versus Hoare on field this week, knowing that you can't loop between them because they're from the same side. So who would you look to field?
That's a tough one. Jeez, if I had both of them, I'd probably go Hoare. That's me, but I don't have Hoare. So it's not very easy. Yeah. I just think that he, you know, probably got a better role than what Howes is going to be. But Howes has been scoring all right. So he's who I will be putting on field for Williams this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna back on that and actually go against you, Harmy. I actually think Howes had the better role in that system. It seemed like he had a bit more of a license to run up the ground and get involved in scoring chains, whereas it seemed like Hoare was playing a little bit more lockdown at times. So Howes has gone 77 and 66, which, you know, that's two pretty good games in a row. So I think I'd probably be looking to go Howes, and I do actually have that dilemma this week. So I will think about it more, but that's where I'm leaning at this stage. Louis, yeah, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I was just going to say that Salem kept that midfield role, which there was a bit of speculation about. In fact, he was the leading CBA getter for the Ds, and I think that basically Howes was shuffled up a position in terms of how they want to give him the ball, and I think Hoare really did come in to pretty much replace Jake Bowie there. So, yeah, for me, also backing that scoring history, it's probably Howes too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Holmesy, just in the back of my mind, it is that I think Hoare averaged like 107 in the VFL last year, and Howes was quite a bit below that. He was in the 80s, so that was just what I was thinking.
Yeah, I just don't think Hoare has that same role that he had in the VFL. I think he's just locking down a bit more at the moment, which is what the team needs. But yeah, that's just where my head's at the moment. Louis, I'm not sure if you have him or not, but Nick Caulfield, hold or fold, would you be going off him if you have nothing else to do this week?
Oh, if you've got nothing else to do, I think potentially, yeah, you can fold on Nick Caulfield. But like we said, it is best 18 this week, so potentially he's one that you can leave on that back burner. You picked him to generate cash. No, it didn't work out in round one, but it's a player who missed, what, 750 days of football or something like that. Before returning. So first game back, it's often said that players really struggle in round one. It's a bit of a shock to the system. I'd probably lean towards seeing how he goes in round two. He's got the Suns at Mars Stadium. That might be an interesting one, but round three, I really like him with West Coast at Marvel Stadium. So that could be the one to get you off on your way.
Don't mind that at all, Lou, and he's in my team and I'm not looking to trade him this week. I think I've got other priorities that I need to do. All right, Harmy, this one's from Mossimo. Who are the priority trade-ins this week? So you don't have to give us heaps, but who are some of the players that are looking to be more of the priority to get in?
Jeez. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a bit hard because I've written down a few names, but I've kind of discounted people that are in my team already. All right, some people that I have written down. Jack Billings. I don't think he would have been highly owned because of how coming on as a sub in the first round. Then he's come out and smashed it. I reckon his ownership percentage would be low and he's still pretty good price. So he's probably somebody that's worth having a look at. Marty Hoare we spoke about. Dempsey. Geez, he had a good game, and I can't see him being knocked out of the Cats 22 for a while. So good forward line option, and he may not have a high ownership either. Well, Cherry was spoke to before. Massimo, geez, he put up a thumping score. Maybe there was a bit of a revenge game in that with the Bombers, him exiting the Bombers last year. But he had a really good game, and he's still under 500,000. So a couple of these are these mid-price guys that should get a good bump that we spoke to. But I'll throw one to you, Holmesy and Lou. One that I'm uncertain about, probably the one error that I made in my team is not bringing in Isaac Heaney. That's probably the one regret that I have from my setup. So is he somebody you could legitimately bring in at this point, knowing that he's got a buy in round five or six coming out? I think it's five. So he's got a buy coming up, but he's got that midfield role. I guess I sort of thought he'd regress back to the 80 scoring he normally has. What do you reckon about him?
Gee, Harmy, yeah, I think you do, personally. I think in these first two games coming up against Melbourne, very good side, and then beating the reigning premiers at home, I think Isaac Heaney has drastically outperformed what even Sydney thought he would do in the midfield. And I think they would be stupid to have Taylor Adams come back in and just take his role and send him back forward. He's been absolutely unbelievable in that role and offers them so much. And no, I don't think it's too late. In fact, I think you actually need to go there. He's been unreal. And if he does revert back, you are going to get some good price rises from him before he does that. And maybe you can get off him at his buy, but I think you take the punt and you just jump on because, yeah, I'd love to hear Louis' thoughts, but I think he's almost a must-have at this point.
Probably the opposite, really. He's gone up nearly 100K now, so he's priced at 90. Obviously, we could pick him for 80 at the start, so you've missed that big jump. He's got a break even of 51. You'd think he'd smash that out of the park versus the premiership favourites, the Bombers. But
I'm pretty sure he's got big history against them as well, Lou. I think that's one of his best teams to score against, too.
That's interesting. But I think you've got the buy there as well, which is worth considering when you're trading into him. If you think, geez, this guy's outscoring every single week, if it's a whole points on field type thing, I think, yeah, you probably do. Strongly look at it, but in terms of a cash generation play now, I think it's sort of time is running out type thing. Maybe this is the last week you can do it, but you could also look elsewhere and get something that's sort of comparable too. So, I think with trading into Isaac Heaney, you need to be seriously cautious that you're probably losing 90 points within that just based on the buy alone.
Just one more thing I'll finish on. Essendon this week, then Richmond at the MCG, and then the Eagles in Adelaide for Gather Round. So in terms of matchups, it doesn't get much better. So I'll leave us on that. All right, Louis, back to you. Jimmy Wilkin, if he has Grundy and Cherry, is Gorn a must-have to trade out Grundy? So a lot of coaches are thinking to go Grundy down to Cherry, but can you go Grundy up to Gorn?
Yeah, I think you can. And certainly if you don't have many captain options or VC options that you're keen on, Max Gorn is perfect for that. He's a guy, which we've spoken about all season, just has that frightening ceiling, and he showed it on the weekend with the 140-odd that he scored. So, Grundy to Gorn, you've still got a buy-round player there anyway. That seems fine to me. In fact, you've probably got a nicer buy given that it's not that round five where coaches are really stacked up. So, yeah, I'd tick off Grundy to Gorn in a heartbeat, really.
Yeah, Harmy, your thoughts?
Oh, look, I think Max Gorn's really good. I wouldn't have any concerns bringing him in, but depends if Grundy is your biggest issue in your team for that coach. So not sure whether it's going to be. But anyway, that's a nice upgrade. But you're spending a bit of cash to do that as well.
That's the tricky part, isn't it, Harmy's prioritising those trades, because I think even the best coaches have 3, 4, 5 issues in their side they'd like to address. But it is a long season, and you've sort of got to get your ducks in a row, don't you?
Yeah, and let's just be clear on the order. If there's obvious rookies you're going to make bulk cash and you missed them, the rookies are the first ones that you need to look at trading in. Then you've got your mid-prices. Those mid-prices are really going to pop and make a lot of money. That would be your second point of call, which you could probably put Grundy in, and then you worry about those premiums that have underperformed for you. But, yeah, the rookies are the priority just at the minute. So, as I said, I'm feeling all right about that other than Sharp, but it means I would have to get rid of, like, Jai Clark in order to get Sharp, so I'm probably not going to worry about it.
I'll stay with you then, Harmy, for this one. So this coach has the option. He needs to trade in Sharp or Dempsey. So if you need a pick between those two, which one would you be going?
As a forward or a mid? Sharp or is it utility?
I suppose he's got DPP to utility, yeah.
What did Dempsey score?
92.
Dempsey,
the
price.
Break even of negative 10.
Yeah, so Dempsey now priced at 300 as a forward only, and then Sharp now priced at 319. Dempsey was
just
good
on Dempsey
though.
Before you go, Harmy, it's kind of been lost as well that he scored a 70 odd in that preseason game as well. So that's two scores now from Dempsey that are looking pretty good. Minus 10 break even, looking good in that Geelong system.
He played that same game that he did in the preseason. He scored a 75, and he was one that was right down to the line. I wish I picked that one, unfortunately, but. He's high up on that wing, almost helping the defenders before pushing back seriously hard and then providing a threat up forward as well. He's a younger, better Gary Rowan, which maybe is not the best fantasy comparison, but when you're paying 300K for a player at minus 10, I think there's some job security there too. There's a couple of players there I think might be a little bit behind him, even if Gary Rowan does return. So I think Dempsey is a smash play.
I just had a quick look there, Holmesy. Dempsey is 4% owned and Sharp is 28% owned. The only reason that Sharp was called into that starting lineup was when Jaeger O'Meara got withdrawn. So, I mean, he played pretty well, but there's a chance that he's not best 22. I think Dempsey is not a bad option there between the two if it suits the structure of what you got as being a forward only. So, yeah, maybe he's the go.
Yep, I like both of them, but I also think Harmy, although there were three defenders, with three of Frio's best 22 going down on the weekend, I think Sharp's job security will be pretty good for a while yet. I think they'll probably shuffle the magnets around to make sure.
North matchup too at Marvel, that's pretty juicy. We saw what GWS did.
Yep, so maybe you look to bring both in, but I'm a fan of both, and I think I'll be looking to target Dempsey this week as well. For you to go here, Lou, this one's from Connor. Is Wines to Martin too sideways?
No, I don't think it is. Wines is, he's a super interesting one, actually. And that was, even though it was a great matchup in terms of fantasy points, it's a terrible matchup for inside mids. Because there's so much outside ball, it's not something that a bloke like Wines needs to get that involved with, but I also think with Wines that having that taller defensive lineup, they're no longer, it's almost like they've effectively got an extra two men coming off that back square and into stoppage in Kane Farrell, Ryan Burton, and also Dan Houston, of course. So I think that's going to really affect how the midfield really share it. You've got Butters, you've got Rosie, you've got Jason Horne-Francis, you've got Houston and Burton and Farrell coming off the back of the square, and just doesn't leave a lot of points for a bloke like Wines. He did get plenty of touches, but he did it all at the coalface, which sort of something we've been saying all preseason. Wish we listened to our own advice, but he did have the role in the preseason. He didn't actually have it during the season proper. So he was at 46% CBAs, which was behind Rosie, Horne-Francis and Butters, who was a little bit underdone. So That's a bit of a concern. It was super hot in Adelaide. I don't know if that's really an excuse, but on the flip side, Nick Martin had the role that we wanted. He took kick-ins. He ran around doing exactly what he liked, and Essendon looked to give it to him at every opportunity they could. Thought 93 was probably a little bit underwhelming, but I think if that can sort of be not a flaw, but if that's down the lower end of things, then it's going to be a total smash play, that one.
Harmy, you want to throw in your insights there?
Yeah, I'll just I'll give you my insights, which is slightly different. A little bit annoyed with Ken Hinckley, Lou, about lying to us, saying that Wines was the number one inside mid, but then we look at the CBAs and he wasn't the number one inside mid. But I've had a quick squeeze, and the two of you and Stato have all got Wines and Martin, and I didn't start with Martin. And I was a little bit worried at halftime, but I'm just going to continue to fade him, I think, at this point in time. So while I have the option of going Wines to Martin, I'm not going to prioritise that as a trade.
Yep, that's fair enough. I think if you started Martin, he's done nothing wrong. We wanted him to go 95 plus and he's gone 93 to start, so it's not the worst thing, but potentially I'm not sure I'd be looking to get on him just yet. Think Wines to Martin, you've got bigger priorities. I'd probably try and get up further, Lou.
I was just going to say, Martin actually has Sydney, as we mentioned before, at the SCG, which might be an interesting one.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say something about
Hinckley. If we go on with that, the podcast will be about 2 hours long.
Sack him. All right. Two to go. Louis, I'll go to you. So Nipple Cripple. Wines to Fife and then Newcomb to Sarong. Is that too reactionary or would you tick that off?
No, I think that's probably a little bit what we were talking about off the top of the show in terms of maximising your best 18. Newcomb probably didn't put up what coaches were expecting, and even if you do think he can break out, I still think that he can. You really wanted that cash generation to start working for you early and sort of stamp his name on the competition a little bit. So one bloke that did do that was Caleb Sarong. I wouldn't call it reactionary or reactionary. I think it's just being agile and correcting and a slight little restructure on the go, which is what the early rounds are about anyway.
Yep. With Wines, you're going down to Nat Fife. Yes, he's a forward, but you're going to a player that has a lower break even and actually did have the role compared to Wines that didn't. So I'm going to tick that off. And then Sarong looked as good as any mid in the comp with that score. I say it every year, I need to get better at so these players, they come out of the gate and I just think, nah, they're going to get away from me. They'll come back to the pack eventually and I'll try and get them then, but they just keep going and going and going. And with watching Sarong on the weekend, there's every chance he's the M1 this year. It might be reactionary, it might not, but he, 46 touches, 6 marks, 7 tackles, an absolute all-round game against the reigning premiers. And with Brayshaw going out onto the wing a little bit more, it's just opened up for Sarong just to absolutely be the main guy in there. So I'm all aboard Caleb Sarong if he can get up there, knowing that his price is just going to get away from us if we don't jump now. Last one, Harmy, before we wrap up. This one's from Matthew Crinis. Is Billings a trap? I'm keen for your thoughts here because his price still isn't going to get away from us this week, knowing that he had a 10 in his score the week before. He would have gone up a little bit in cash if you've got that there, but it wouldn't have been huge. Is it a case of jumping now if we have to, knowing that he's got a buy coming up, or do you think we can wait another week?
Well, I think he's still quite a good trading option. He's got a break-even of 31 from what I can see. So, guy scored 140, didn't he? He's only scored 140?
Yeah, 15 marks.
Man, off the show. That was huge. And he would float down to the back line, they would kick in, and he'd find a bit of space, and they'd kick it into him, get a mark, turn around, have a kick. So, I don't know, he was used in a good role. I don't know what the hell was going on with that round one sub, but I can't see him being a sub again after that performance. So I think he's probably a solid trading option.
I'd love to scroll back through Twitter and see all the tweets of round zero saved coaches from picking Jack Billings.
I'd like to, and I'm not going to do it now because I'm editing, but I'd love to go back to our preseason podcast, Louis, where Harmy told me that he was going to play VFL and just absolutely shat on me.
Yeah,
got
well,
that apology for me, Harmy?
Geez, it'd be an interesting podcast if we just agreed on everything that you said, Holmesy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, very, very true. All right, boys, that wraps up the questions for today, and I think the listeners have got a lot to take away. But once again, on the cuff here, Lou, I'm going to throw to you. What's one bit of advice or what are you thinking about leading into round two?
You want to right the ship. We all make mistakes within our starting squad. So it's about identifying those, prioritising them, as we spoke about earlier, and then executing them, which unfortunately is the hardest part of that. But I wouldn't be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I'd be thinking of this game as, you know, the 24 rounds that it is. So don't get too cut up or upset if you're a little bit behind the pack early. It does really come down to a couple of players that pop and a bit of rookie roulette. So don't go chasing ranks like a madman, getting points on your field and then finding yourself with a low team value come, you know, mid-season. I think you still need to play the fundamentals of the game, which is generate cash as quickly as you can and jump on to players that are not only underpriced but are about to sort of break out into that area where you're paying a fair price or even maybe more than what they're worth.
Yep, absolutely agree there, Lou. We can't spend all preseason talking about how it's a trading game and then throw the baby out with the bathwater after a pretty average round one. It's all about how we trade from here. As long as you've got pretty strong foundations in your team, you just chip away with those picks that weren't quite as good and you trade your way to a good team. So just keep building that cash gen and back yourself in. Harmy, what are your closing thoughts?
Well, everybody's just continuing to look for those players that they feel are underpriced based on their current value. I mean, and we spoke to earlier, being the rookies being the first ones that you'd be looking to correct. And then mid-prices, I mean, what have we got? An example being Rowan Marshall. He scored 118, great score, but he's still priced at that. So he's actually not going to make you any money if you're looking to jump on him at this point of the season. So, yeah, chase the value and, just correct those ones that you've obviously made a bit of a blue on, if it's Connor Buderick or somebody equivalent to that.
Yep, couldn't agree more, mate. All right, so that's it, guys. Make sure you follow us at PodPodAFL on X. Please make sure you leave a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And one more reminder, join the PodPod Challenge. Last year it was so we could all beat Dossie, but don't worry, we are all beating Dossie at the moment and I'm sure that will continue. The league code is N63ANCEP. One more time, that's N63ANCEP. Good luck to everyone this coming round. Oh, Harmy's got one more thing he wants to mention.
Did he join? Where do we got? Have we got a score update for Dossie?
We'll have to get one for the listeners next week, actually. We'll have to
yeah,
track
we will.
It because we know that's what they want to hear. But yeah, good luck, everyone. And yeah, we'll be back here next week for another monster review of round two. Take care.